I came from a software engineering background building social networks and online dating sites and consumer sites. And I had been a reader since I was a kid, so I wanted to build something that I would use. And I was in a friend's house one day, and like many of us, I think he had a shelf in his living room of all his favorite books that he'd read, and he'd showcased, you know, the best ones in the middle. And I just spent an hour just kind of like asking him, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? What about this one? And I came away with a great list of books to read. And I realized that if I could do that across all my friends, I would probably have an amazing list of books to read, and I would know exactly what to read. But it's pretty hard to go to all your friends' living rooms and harangue them to get them to tell you which ones were good and which ones weren't. And that's where I think the power of the internet came in. And given that I was already building social networks, I launched a social network around reading with the goal to find good books through your friends. And that's still the core of Goodreads today, but I think we've actually evolved a lot. But our core mission remains the same. We want to help people find good books. And part of that's through friends. Part of that's through other members in the community of Goodreads. We're now actually up to 12 million members. And part of that's through tons of other ways we have of discovery. So this morning I wanted to walk you through a little bit about some trends in the industry that I think are making Goodreads more and more relevant. And then also walk you through a couple case studies of how we're marketing books, how we're working with publishers, and hopefully leave you with some tips and tools you can take home to better use Goodreads as you're working on launching your new titles. So this is a screenshot that I love. This is actually an old bookstore in Argentina called El Ateneo. And I think it really illustrates something amazing about the publishing world, which is that there are a ton of books. You know, you can kind of imagine this is just a slice of the theater, and it probably extends way around. And it just looks like there's probably tens and tens of thousands of books in this thing, and really just kind of makes you want to jump on a flight to Argentina. But so Goodreads, as I mentioned, we have 400 million books shelved. Those aren't unique. We have 5 million unique titles that have been shelved, not counting duplicate editions, you know, duplicate paperbacks and hardcovers of one title. That's 5 million unique, what we call works, that people have added, which is a whole lot of books. But actually, it's really interesting to see that, according to Bowker, the number of books being published every year is 350,000, which is pretty big in comparison to our 5 million total books. So we're really growing fast. And can you guess how many of those are self-published? Over half. So over half of those are self-published, and that number is just growing faster and faster and faster. You know, there's a saying that everyone has a book in them, and Christopher Hitchens said, in most cases, that's where it should stay. But Bowker is also predicting that in a couple of years, there'll be over 600,000 books published a year, which is just staggering. So I think all this content, you know, that already exists in the world in the hundreds of years we've been publishing books, but also the growth going forward, is just a tremendous amount of content for consumers to sift through, and a tremendous amount of competition for you as you're marketing titles to compete against. The second trend that I think we're all aware of is that things are moving online. There's this thing called the internet, and books are being sold on it in increasing numbers due to digital growth, ebook growth. Most of that's happening by the one in the middle there, which I won't say their name. But it's moving fast. But I think there's a big problem with online sales, which is that it's not very optimized for discovery. You know, if you go to Amazon's, if you go to any of these large online retailers, their homepage is full of bestsellers. And if you're looking for 50 Shades of Grey or Hunger Games, that's great for you. But most of us, I think, are really looking for that serendipitous experience that we get when we're at a friend's house looking at their bookshelves, or in a physical bookstore browsing titles, or talking to, you know, a book clerk in a store. That serendipitousness is, if you talk to readers, is what drives a lot of purchasing, because they happen upon a title that sounds interesting to them in the mood they're in, and that's what leads them to say, okay, this is something I want to buy. So I think what we're really focused on at Goodreads is recreating that serendipitous experience that I think we did really good job of doing online. So these are two major trends that I think are, you know, we're all aware of and are influencing our readership, but I think what's happening is, because of these two trends, publishers and authors are becoming increasingly marketers. And in getting good at marketing is what I want to talk to you about today. And marketing is, of course, all about what I call getting touch points in the minds of consumers. You need to get enough touch points that a person has heard about your book enough times that they're going to get to the point where they say, I want to read it. And our theory is that all those touch points should be recommendations. The stronger the recommendation, the better. But I think this was actually well captured in this quote, which was by an anonymous marketing manager at a large publishing house. This is from the book Merchants of Culture, which is about the publishing industry, and a great read if you haven't read it, which says, between us and our readership, there's a brick wall, and we have these little hammers, and if we keep hitting the wall, eventually we'll punch through. So if one of your hammers is a recommendation from your best friend, you know, that's probably the only touch point a person needs before they decide they're going to read a book. If you're lacking that, you probably need 3 to 5, maybe even 7 touch points, times a person has heard about a book. So personalizing this, there was a book that took me a while to overcome last year called Ready Player One. This is a really geeky sci-fi book about the 80s and video games. I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but I thought it sounded pretty stupid. I kind of like the 80s and video games, but I wasn't convinced. It sounded dumb to me. But I just started seeing this book everywhere. I had a couple employees read it and write reviews, and I was like, okay, you know, if my geeky employees are reading this, it must have some geek cred. You know, I saw it in the news somewhere. I saw it on a Goodreads book club. I saw it in the subway. And by the 5th or 6th time I saw this thing, I was like, okay, I better go home and look this thing up because I keep seeing it everywhere, and now I'm really curious. And then it sounded good, so I read it, and it was good. So I think that's kind of what you're looking to do as a marketer. You're trying to get the book in front of a person enough times that you crack through that wall where they're going to decide to read it. So before we go into some marketing case studies, just a little bit about what qualifies us to really speak about this. So Goodreads today is, we're actually up to 12 million members. We just crossed last week. We're growing fast. We were at 6.5 million users at the end of last year. So we've grown by 6 million users this year. And the important thing to realize is 100% of these people are on the site because they love books. So unlike Facebook, where you're getting a whole mix of people, 100% of good people on Goodreads are there because they love books and they want to find new books. And the other interesting thing is we've got a ton of data about what people read. So this is a chart showing you how many people have shelved a book year per year in our growth. You can see last year was a pretty big breakout year for us, and this year we're poised to blow that away. And we've got over 400 million books shelved, and that's growing at a clip of 20 million a month. So this gives us a lot of insight into what people are reading and patterns amongst, you know, the books people are reading and how they relate to other books. But for discovery, and if you use Goodreads at all, you'll know about the to-read shelf. So this is what members do on Goodreads when they find a book that they want to read. You know, so they've heard about it from a friend, from somewhere on the site, from a recommendation. They clicked on it. They read the reviews. Maybe they had friend reviews, too. They said, okay, this sounds good, and they put it on their to-read. And we're getting about 7 million books marked as to-read a month currently, which is a pretty good clip. It's about 2 a second, so tons of people are finding books on Goodreads. So I want to dive a little bit into that magic moment when someone's gotten to the point where they've said, that's a book I want to read. So our first book we're going to look at is called Slammed. This started out as a self-published book, and it's really a great success story. It was picked up by Simon & Schuster towards in late August, September. But you can see here, and by the way, this is a book that's, I think it's about poetry slams, and it's a love story, and it's what's called it's a new genre, new adult, not young adult. It lets us adults read young adult books, but not have to call it that. So this book was published here on the left side of the graph, and this graph is showing us number of people who put it on to read on Goodreads per day, and it's color-coded by where they found it on Goodreads. So we're going to walk through this. So on the left, you see it was published, and absolutely nothing happened for 2 months. And I think this just illustrates how hard it is today to find an audience if you're a self-published debut author. But then the author finally, in March, got onto Goodreads, joined as an author, and listed it with 2 giveaways. And you can see the spikes in light green there. People started discovering it through those giveaways. And I'll talk more about giveaways in a little bit. But what happened from that is it got a little bit of traction. People started reviewing it, and a couple influencers discovered the book. Two of them, in fact, that were very prominent book bloggers. And here is pictured one of the reviews that one of these book bloggers wrote, which is still one of the top reviews on this book. This is a book blogger called Ace This Book Blog, who is a power Goodreads user. They've got, you know, I think over 1,000 friends on Goodreads, and they also write a book blog on the side, and I think, you know, do a lot of cross-linking between Goodreads and the book blog to build their own reputation as a prominent book blogger in the new adult genre. And what's incredible here is this book blogger basically wrote a raving review of this book. You know, 6 stars, what a beautiful and powerful book, definitely a must read. And there were, you know, 80-something comments, and the reviewer was very active in responding to all the comments and basically hand-selling the book to everybody, saying a lot of OMGs, oh my God, you got to read it, it's so good. And this is what you're looking for when you're starting with a book. You want to find one of these really influential people in their genre who just loves it and will rave about it. You know, I think Malcolm Gladwell called them mavens, and Seth Godin calls them sneezers. But they're essentially, you know, influencers in their genre. So after the giveaway ran and we had people starting to read the book and our influencers started spreading the word, you see we start picking up the color orange. And this is people discovering it through their friends. So as the influencers start reading it and spreading the word, their friends start finding it and getting interested in it and adding it. And then you also see the color red start picking up on the bottom, and that's word of mouth. That's basically search. So somebody heard of the book slammed somewhere from a friend in the real world. Maybe Colleen Hoover was doing external promotion, but somebody heard of the book somewhere, slammed somewhere, and they went to Goodreads, they typed in slammed, they added it to ToRead. So we see lots of our word of mouth start to build up. And then the color blue kicks in, and you can see this drove a ton of discovery in the early months of this book. And the color blue is our recommendation engine. So our recommendation engine has basically a minimum threshold where it needs to know enough about the readers of a book before it's statistically confident in recommending it to other readers. So once we knew enough about the people who like this kind of book, you know, other readers of new adult, other readers of similar books, we're confident and start recommending it to new people who've read those kind of books, and basically this book can ride the coattails of more popular books that are similar to it. So it's worth learning a little bit more about our recommendation engine. This is a taste-based recommendation engine. It looks at all the 400 million books that we've got on people's shelves. It looks at all the ratings, all the shelves we know, you know, lists the books are in, everything we know about the book. It puts it into a big matrix that involves more math than I can explain, and that matrix is about 20 billion data points. And what we do is basically recommend personalized recommendations to you. And, you know, not just based on one book you've read, but based on all the books you might have read in a genre. So if you're a big new adult reader and you've read a couple of those books, but there's thousands of other readers in there in Goodreads who've read other books in that genre, it stands to reason you'd be interested in the other books they've read that you haven't, right? And the incredibly powerful thing about the algorithm is it's incredibly good and focused at midlist and backlist and even long-tail titles, as we just saw with Slammed. You know, for many midlist titles, we saw a huge jump when we launched this algorithm. And this kind of makes sense, right? It's not like people need help finding The Hunger Games. It's out there. It's everywhere. The bestsellers are everywhere. You don't need help finding them typically. But what you do need is when you finish The Hunger Games, you need, you know, a lot of people have this reaction, I need more of that. More of that good book I just finished. Where can I get another young adult dystopian romance book with a female lead? and our recommendation engine has the answer. You know, using a non-Hunger Games example, I, like many people, read the Steve Jobs bio last year, and I'm a tech entrepreneur, so I loved reading the inside story of Apple's creation and how they got built, and I like reading a lot of bios, so I went to the recommendation engine, and here's the screenshot I saw, and I found the right there. I found the book about Pixar, which is a couple years old. It's a mid-list title, but also about a company that Steve Jobs founded and is now on my to-read list, so successful. So back to our case study. A few more things I wanted to point out here. So one is, I mentioned Colleen Hoover was very active. She remained very active throughout the building of this book and actually kept running giveaways. You can see the light green appear in two more places. And so Colleen Hoover was active on the site building fans and also using these second and third and fourth giveaways as promotional tools. So unlike the first ones, which were really designed to get early reviews and get it into the hands of influencers, the later ones were more about, you know, promotional tools as she's marketing, as she's doing social media, win a free copy. It turns out people love winning free stuff, and they click on those kind of ads or promotions a lot more than other things. One other thing to point out is you notice the orange and red, which is our friends and word of mouth, keep being a factor as this book gets bigger and bigger. So that's basically the amplification effect of Goodreads. You know, the more people are discovering it in one way, whether it be from the author's efforts or recommendation engine, et cetera, you know, people share it and it grows that way. And then lastly, you notice the dark green coming in, especially more later in the title's growth. And this is our Listopia list. Goodreads has tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of lists. And these are all member-created, member-voted lists. And some of them are very basic. So Slammed got to the number 14 slot as of the time of this screenshot on the best books of 2012. And the only way it can get there is if it gets thousands of votes on that list by members who think it should be there. But it also got on a lot of really niche, more creative lists, such as To Die For 2012, Intense and Angsty Romance, Best Romance Novels of All Time, Hottest Adult and Young Adult Romance Books. So the fans got a hold of this book and started putting it on the right list. And then as it rose, that just really contributed to its success. So I think the lesson for you as marketers is, you know, you can try to seed it on these lists, but really you want to get it into the right hands of the right people as early as possible so that it gets high on these lists earlier and then just leads to lots more discovery. All right, so here's our second case study we're going to go through. This is a more recent title, which just launched in late August. And this is a debut fiction novel, a midlist title called The Midwife of Hope River. And what I love about this case study is it's basically a textbook example of a book launch package on Goodreads. And this is our business model. We work with publishers, all the big six, and many mid-major and even smaller publishers launching their titles. We work with 60 to 70 titles a month typically, and this is what we're doing all day with them. So I'll walk you through this. So again, the publisher started with two giveaways. If you're noticing a trend, that's good because that's what we recommend you do is start with a bunch of giveaways. We recommend starting with one generally pretty early, you know, a month before launch, 2 months before launch. We've seen 6 months before launch. It really doesn't matter. The point you're trying to do here is you're trying to get early reviews of the book and get some buzz going ahead of time. So here we see after the first giveaway, we got a bunch of awareness of the title, and then we got 8 reviews. And then the second giveaway was in the week leading up to the launch of the title. The launch of this title is the gray shaded box. We had 17 reviews at the end of the second giveaway. And 17 reviews doesn't sound like a ton, but it actually is, and this is super important. So I'll use an analogy. There's a hot new restaurant opening up down the street from you. You and your wife or husband or partner decide to go check it out. You walk down the street. You look in the window, and there's nobody there. And you go, this is suspicious. If it was cool, there'd be people there. We're just going to keep going to that restaurant down the street that we know is good. We go to all the time. Or if you look in the window and you see 17 people having fun, talking, interacting, looking like they're having a good time, you're going to go, okay, this looks cool. Let's try it. So the point is, obviously, you don't want to have an empty restaurant on day of launch. You want to have some people in there talking about the book, excitedly raving about it, hopefully, and looking like there's something happening with this book so that when other people come and check it out on day of launch, it looks like there's stuff going on. And 17 reviews is plenty to look to fill out the first page of Goodreads. So a little bit more about our giveaways, since I've mentioned these are important. These are probably our most effective free marketing tool for authors and publishers. They're free to list. Anyone can list one, though generally we recommend it be the author or publisher. It is a program focused on titles that are not yet out, but if it's a recently out title, we'll accept it too. So we've given out about 125,000 physical copies of books through this program this year alone, which is just a staggering number if you think about all those books being shipped through the mail. We get about 35,000 people a day entering these giveaways. And the key stats for you to know if you're going to list one are, on average, we get about 850 entrants per giveaway. Now, a bigger title will do a lot more. A less successful title will do a bit less, but 850 is the average. The other average is you'll get about half the people who win reviewing the book. So if you want 10 reviews, give away 20 copies and so forth. And then so when the giveaway ends, so you know, you list it for a week, 2 weeks, etc., we'll email you a spreadsheet of the winners' names and addresses, and you just mail them the books. Easy. So it's also worth noticing that in building these reviews early, you're getting more benefit than just Goodreads. We like to say what happens on Goodreads doesn't stay on Goodreads. We have worked hard to syndicate our reviews across the internet to all kinds of places where people are discovering books. We are currently the largest source of reviews on Google Books. You'll find our reviews on Powell's.com, on USAtodayBooks.com, on Kobo's Bookstore, on Better World Books Bookstore, and on library catalogs across the nation due to a partnership with Novelist. And in all those places, Goodreads reviews are helping people decide if they're going to buy a book or not. We're also make it very easy to for our members to share their books onto Facebook and Twitter. We're particularly partnered close with Facebook right now. We were one of 50 apps to be a launch partner for Facebook's Open Graph timeline in January of this year. And we've grown from about 100,000 Facebook app users to 1.5 million in that time. So we've seen a lot of growth on Facebook. And basically, what people are doing is they're syncing their Goodreads account to Facebook, and as they build their shelves on Goodreads and share what they're reading on Goodreads and write reviews and build their want-to-read shelf, all that information is synced to Facebook, and Facebook puts it on their friends' profile or the friends' news feeds, their friends' tickers, and the person's profile themselves. And they actually give you some really cool aggregations, they call them. So if you look on my Facebook profile, it'll say in, you know, September, Otis read 3 books and 3,374 pages, and here were the books, and here's Otis's reviews. And this is cool stuff for my friends to go see. So all that confirmation that we're sending to Facebook, reviews, ratings, even progress updates, I'm on page 45. We get 30,000 of those shared a day. I don't know why people share that they're on page 45, but they do. All those things, we're seeing about 16 million of those stories shared on Facebook per month right now. And all those stories are going on Facebook homepages and Facebook profiles, and they're generating over half a billion, about 700 million impressions per month on Facebook. So just a tremendous amount of awareness that our books are getting on Facebook, which just, again, helps you as a marketer know that, you know, they're being seen a lot on Facebook. So back to our case study. So we built some traction, right? We have 17 reviews now. We've got about, through the awareness of those giveaways, we've got about 900 people who've added it to ToRead on day of launch. And what the publisher did here is a week before launch, they started a paid advertising campaign with us. And this is the purple color. And what this is deep targeted advertising. So because Goodreads knows exactly what people have read, because that's the experience of Goodreads, you put in what you read to share with your friends to get better recommendations, we're able to put this title directly in front of comparable titles and directly in front of anyone who's read the genre and anyone who's read any author you want to reach. So this is pretty powerful stuff. It means you can reach the exact right readers that you want for this title. So a week before launch, we started a targeted advertising campaign to try to put this book in front of those people and start building more ToReads. And then on day of launch, we launched a high-impact homepage ad, which you can see really accelerated the discovery of this book on day of launch. And here's what that looked like. You know, this is above the fold on our homepage. on the right there, and these typically drive a ton of awareness. And typically, advertisers only run them for a day or two because they are our pricier ad position. So you can also see here, though, that the giveaway, again, was very successful in the week leading up. So again, the giveaway was part of the ad campaign. The ad campaign drove people to the Goodreads book page, which prominently listed the giveaway. And even in some of the ads, we can mention win a free copy, and that drives more clicks. So giveaways are definitely a big piece of a successful book launch package. You can also see orange and red still kicking in here before the launch and after the launch. And you can see actually the red spiked on the day of launch, which was probably due to the publisher and author doing things off of Goodreads. And you see a reflection of that on Goodreads. So it's not just about us, we realize. So I think this was a very successful title. You know, at the end of this window, which was just, we're just showing you the 2 weeks post-launch, we had over 2,500 people who have marked it to read. And 250 people had rated it and 90 reviews. So, you know, for a small mid-list title, I think this was really successful. And again, really good at driving that early launch buzz and amplifying it and accelerating it through the launch of the title. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about our author program. I mentioned Colleen Hoover was very active, and I know a lot of you have authors who are using Goodreads, perhaps, or maybe not yet using Goodreads. So here are a couple top tips for using Goodreads as an author. So firstly, about our author program, if you're not familiar, this is a program that lets an author claim their profile on Goodreads and basically interact as the author officially on the site and basically build fans, interact with fans, and grow their readership. We have 52,000 authors who have claimed their profile. Some of these faces are big names you might recognize, like James Patterson and Margaret Atwood and E.L. James and Nicholas Sparks. But many of them are small, self-published, or even published, but authors, you know, just trying to build their readership. So our first tip is, you know, once you sign up, really build out your profile and add your blog. So authors have full control of their profile and their book's metadata, by the way, when they sign up. So they can add or improve the book's description if they want, add or improve other data about the book, such as when it came out or other things like that. And then they can add their own author data. So make sure their bio is good, make sure they have a good photo, make sure their books that influence them are good. And then they can add their blog. So we know many authors blog externally on WordPress or other blogging platforms. So they can sync that blog into Goodreads. So blog posts, as they write them, will start automatically appearing on Goodreads. And if they don't have an external blog, they can actually write a blog directly on Goodreads. And what this does is this is powerful because all of the author's friends and people who fan them, we have both a friending and a fanding model, so one-way and a two-way model, all those people will start seeing the author's blog posts as they get automatically imported on their home pages and be able to like them, share them, read them. We also offer a daily, weekly digest of blog posts by authors that you're a fan of. So again, benefits of building bigger fanships on Goodreads and having a blog there. This may seem counterintuitive, but actually one of the best ways of diving into the community of Goodreads is to shelf some books as an author. Fans love seeing what influenced a book, an author. They love seeing the early influences. They love seeing recent influences. They even love seeing what the author is reading right now. So we highly encourage authors to spend a little bit of time building out their shelves, you know, mentioning which books are influential to them, maybe even saying some words about them. Fans love this, and it can really spark conversation. We have a very robust event system. So this is something that you as an author or even a publisher, you can create events for all your author events, whether they be talks or signings, and list those on the site. You can invite your friends to it. So if you've got a page with lots of friends or the author has lots of friends, they can invite them. And people in general who discover these can RSVP. We've seen my favorite story about events is talking to author Lisa C., who was on a book tour in the Midwest. And her entire method of driving people to her signings was to create events for them and then go through all her friends and people who've read her books and invite all the ones who lived in that area. And she said that was hands down the best way of driving people to her tour. Groups. Groups are one of our top places where our community really aggregates and discusses books, and they can be great for discovery. There's a small book called 50 Shades of Grey that got popular last year in some of our romance groups before anyone had heard of it, and E.L. James credited us on BBC for being the place where she first got popular amongst, again, influencers in the romance genre. So this is where a lot of these power readers, power influencers are hanging out. We have 20,000 book clubs on Goodreads, or groups. Most of them are actual explicit virtual book clubs where the members vote on a book to read every month, read it, and discuss it all online. They're lacking that wine and cheese part that's so crucial to many offline book clubs, but they still seem to enjoy finding each other, finding other people who like books they do, and reading them together. And some of the other book clubs, groups that aren't book clubs, are just groups that of people that love discussing books in one genre or another. So here we see two screenshots. The top one are groups that Neil Gaiman is in. Neil Gaiman, obviously a best-selling fantasy writer, and no surprise to see that he's joined a YA and a fantasy book club because those are the genres he writes in. The fantasy book club, it's one of our bigger book clubs. It's got over 5,000 people in it. They're very active. They read two books a month. And pretty cool to see a best-selling fantasy writer actually participating in one of these groups. And, you know, I'm sure fans get tickled pink every time he says something. but the point is, you look for the book clubs that are reading the kind of stuff that your author is reading and or writing, sorry, and those are the kind of book clubs your author should be trying to join. The bottom screenshot is showing Colleen Hoover, who wrote Slam that we looked at earlier. And, you know, no surprise, she's also in some YA groups, and she's actually picked some smaller groups. So maybe as a smaller author than Neil, she wanted to get a little bit more niche. And, you know, only, you know, 20 to 30 of our book clubs have got 5,000-plus people. Most of them are much smaller. So most of them are several hundred people, even a dozen people who just read books together. But many of these are full of equally passionate readers. So Colleen is in a book club called YA Buddy Readers Corner, which has 350 people and actively read a different variant of YA books. So we've got a ton of tips and tools for interacting with our community for an author and in particular groups on the site. If you look in the author program section, there's a whole page about how we suggest doing this, which I recommend you share with your authors. But I think the top tip is really just treat these book clubs as communities. You know, the analogy I like to bring is imagine this book club is a cocktail party and you're walking in as an author. You're not going to get on a chair and stand up and say, "Hey, everybody, I wrote a book. Check it out." They're just going to look at you funny and you're going to run out of that room embarrassed. So what you want to do, obviously, is you want to walk in the room and you want to start meeting the people, participating in the conversation, and not being annoying, but being a genuine participant. You would not believe how many authors violate that rule, which is why I mention it. All right, so we wanted to switch the shoes a little bit and take a look at actually some PubWest publishers and try to give some tools and tips for books for people that hopefully are in this room. So we pulled two books from PubWest publishers. The first one I know are in this room because I saw them last night. So this is a book by Prospect Park Books called Things I Want to Punch in the Face. And it was published, I think, in October, so published this month. So firstly, I've recommended that we use the author program. And you can see here the author is actually on the site. So they're doing well here. They've got the author using Goodreads. She's building fans. She's actually posting reviews and even two reads and posting her events. So that's great to see. And they've also done, I think, two giveaways for this book. So here's showing you one. They gave away four copies. At the time of the screenshot, they had 700 people entering this. And you can see for both giveaways, they got a nice spike. similar to the spikes we saw in our earlier examples. And by the way, this chart stats here, which is showing us people to read, and then pretty cool when you're marketing a book, you also start seeing ratings or people who finished it pile in. And this graph is available for every book, free to every logged in member of Goodreads. You'll find it in the upper right of any book page called Stats. It's a small link, but if you're a marketer, it's a very invaluable link. So I think one way that we could have boosted this book, remember, is by doing some text ads. We have a text ad self-service advertising platform, which basically allows you to run a text ad throughout Goodreads. These are available on any budget. It could be $10, it could be $100, whatever you want. But again, remember I mentioned earlier, when you're listing a giveaway as part of the ad, win a free copy, it really drives a lot more awareness. And what we find is on average that giveaways that are promoted get about 40% more entries than other giveaways. So that's 40% more people adding it to To Read, and 40% more times it's appearing on those people's friends' shelves and going to Facebook and et cetera. So I think that would have been one way to amplify this book. another one, and by the way, I know I'm walking through a lot of paid products here, and I don't normally do as many of those, but I know Kent really wanted me to walk through all the ways we had to do that. So apologies if it seems too silly. But another way they could have amplified this book was with a sponsored poll. This is one of our most engaging ad products. Typically, they run for only a day or two and appear on the Goodreads homepage just under the ad you saw earlier. And what's great about these is they really bring the user into the content. So here's an example for a book called The Power of Habit that we worked with earlier this year. And so this is a book about habits and building habits. So we asked people, if you could create one new habit, what would it be? And the results, so this didn't require you to have read the book, right? So the results were, eat more vegetables, work out more, stuff like that. and then when people answer the book or answer the poll, you can see here they get the results of the poll, but then they also get a call to action to check out this book, The Power of Habit, which now that they're thinking about their habits, oh, here's a whole book about habits, and they can check it out or even add it to To Read from right there. So we find this drives a ton of awareness. And then, by the way, everyone who adds that poll, answers the poll or adds the book, that goes in their news feed, that goes to Facebook, drives more discovery and awareness of this book. So here's another case study that I've walked through in the past, which I'm not going to walk through entirely, but I wanted to just highlight the large spike on the right, which was what we saw the discovery from the sponsored poll. So the sponsored poll drove To Reads in the color brown there. And what I love about this is it really shows you the amplification. So then you see orange amplifying it from friends. And then on top of that, you see blue, which is recommendations, amplifying that. And it just really built up a ton of people adding that book in one day. And then the cool thing is you can see more people are, on average, adding the book post-poll as from before. So we reached a new plateau of discovery, and it looks like it was sustained. So back to our example book. We had some fun making up a sample poll that we could have run. So for things I want to punch in the face, we could have said, what chaps your hide, gets your goat, rubs you the wrong way, or just plain and annoys you? Which seems to us, we haven't read this book, but like it's related to the content. And so things that chap your hide could be celebrity baby names, business speak, blogs that become books, or annoying polls. So here's what that would look like on the homepage. And it's asking our question, it's sponsored by this book, and then you answer it, and then same as we saw before, you'll be pitched to add the book or check it out after you get the results. And we find that on a single day of having one of these running on our homepage, we get on average, and again, this is the average, some books do better than others, 3,500 responses, and about just under 400 people will add it to their shelf. So here's another example. This is inside HBO's Game of Thrones, kind of an inside look at the Song of Fire and Ice series. And this is by Chronicle Books. So an obvious suggestion for this book, since we have, you know, something like 300,000 people who've rated George R. R. Martin's series on Goodreads, would be to do a deep targeting advertising campaign targeted at those people. But what else might we do for these fans, to reach fans of this series? Well, I go back to groups. Again, I think that's really where a lot of our power readers are. And if you search around for George R. R. Martin, Dance with Dragons, and Song of Ice and Fire, you're going to find a ton of groups that are fans of that series. So here's one of the bigger ones. I think this is 2,000 or 3,000 people in this fan club. And I think they're pretty much continually reading Dance with the Dragons, but more importantly, continually discussing it. And lots of conspiracy theories if you've read the series. And even some of the younger fans like to do role play where they pretend to be the characters and act out scenes. So all kinds of fun stuff going on here. But I think if you're trying to market the book, you could approach you could approach the group and try to offer something exciting. So offer some, you know, a free giveaway to just exclusively to them. You could offer exclusive content. You could even try to offer access to the author or somebody involved with the promotion of this book, because people love doing that. Back to that small 50 Shades of Grey example, we had E.L. James in many of our book club, in some of our romance book clubs before she got big last year, participating in some of the romance book clubs and answering questions. And we see this kind of thing happening a lot. Many of these book clubs get big enough to bring in authors on their own, even best-selling authors, and do chats. So that's definitely something that if the club is interested in doing, you should consider. The way to do that, by the way, is not just go in the group and start yelling. You want to go and approach the moderator. These groups are all moderated by members, volunteers, and these moderators get, especially with the bigger groups, they get approached a lot, but they're going to really appreciate it if you come to them first with an idea and get them on board with it, and it'll be lots more successful. So, wrapping up, I like to think of promoting a book around launch as kind of a symphony. You know, you want to make sure you've got all your elements coming into piece, and you want to build all that to a crescendo. You don't want to launch with a crescendo. You want to make sure you've got your giveaways, your early buzz going on early, and build all these tools together, and hopefully you'll get enough hammers to crack enough people to get them to be interested in this book. And then really on the day of launch and, you know, the week subsequently, you want to just do everything you can to amplify that and crescendo that book and bring it to a new plateau of awareness. So, you know, our recommendations are, if you've heard, you've definitely heard, are definitely focused on our giveaway program. Focus on those influencers wherever you can find them. It's different for every book. And, you know, turbocharge. If you've got budget for the book, turbocharge the launch with targeted advertising, with sponsored polls, even with text ads. So that's my talk. Thank you very much.